Well, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, first item here is item three, discussion possible action and approval of the agenda for March the 18th, 2014. Mr. Beach, want to come up?
I'm Dale Beach, Mark Twain, Chairman of 517 Committee. Been in business since 1993, and I got swept off the agenda, and I'd like to try to convince you people that what I got to say is a little bit of value to it. One of my requests was to talk about a new fleet of Toyota 4Runners for the Sheriff's Department. I think it would be money ahead in the long run, and probably I could get you some five-year no interest.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Are you talking on to the agenda of March the 18th?
Yes, that's today. This agenda, yes.
If you're talking about a request, maybe you should come under public comment at the end of the meeting today.
Well, I didn't think so. I thought that I had as much to say as anybody else, Mr. Chairman.
You do, Mr. Beach, but we're talking about items that are on today.
I see. So then
we're talking about items that are on the agenda for today.
Okay.
Well, I get not items that are not on the agenda.
Will I get a space to talk under public comment?
Yes, you will, sir.
For that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mark?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident, 18th of March, 2014. Agenda item number three, this is discussion before the approval of today's agenda. Once again, under consent agenda, for matters that are routine, here are matters that I've never even seen before, and I sure would like to break down this consent agenda. I have comments towards these claims to be approved. I sure would like a little bit of explanation about item number seven, this correction to the tax roll. Item number eight is a mutual aid agreement and operating plan. That certainly deserves some discussion, and that in the packet there was no information as of Friday. Of course, the first reading for a liquor license cannot be considered routine, item number nine. Thank you.
So, Mr. Shevagin, you chaired this the last year. These items seem to be routine.
I would consider bill and approval, that's a routine. And then the first readings on liquor, that's just exactly what it says, it's the first reading. So I would consider, personally, I would consider all of these matters to be routine. They're things that we've done in the past. I mean, there's nothing clandestine or anything about it, my opinion.
Mr. Gilman?
No, sir, I don't see anything that I believe is out of the ordinary.
Anybody else have any questions on today's agenda? Hearing none, move for the...
Janet's got her hand up.
Oh, you do? All right, Janet, come on up and see you there.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman. Janet House from Mark Twain. When I look at the consent agenda, there is a certain few things that is a bit out. First of all, I will see that under the approval of item number 7, usually is giving more brief discussion about it before it be approved. And usually it's not at the consent agenda. And the item 8 is usually y'all have to give more briefing what is going on this contract. And now is that we do not have any documentations for the public to view, and you are just approving, letting the public know nothing at all. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Wynn, do you want to respond to
Mr. Chairman? Certainly. With respect to item 7 for Piper's Opera House, I just called our assessor and was told there was an error. And what this involves the interaction between Piper's Opera House as a nonprofit organization and the Corner Bar. The way our systems are set up, it's not an error, it's not a clerical error, it's a systems error. The way our systems are set up is you either bill for the entire amount due on the property that's listed on the books, which is Piper's Opera House, or you waive it and then manually collect it. What we did was we billed Piper's for property tax on the whole building. This is the abatement of the 85% of the portion that is not eligible for tax, either under its former ownership by a nonprofit organization, the Friends of Piper Opera House, or its current ownership, the Story County School District. So this is refunding monies that were paid over and above on the portion for the corner block. Okay?
Sure. Thank you. And those are routine. When we find errors, we do that.
Absolutely.
Mr. Beach, do you have something to talk about the agenda today?
Yes.
Okay, then come on up. We're going to talk about the agenda.
Yes. I'm trying to turn the rules.
I done a little digging in that, and it's basically what Pat Whitten said. But we've got a district attorney that's the attorney for the county and is the attorney for the school. And I would like to offer up my property to the school 49%. I'll take mine and my wife's name off. I'll leave my son on for 51%, leave the school on for 49%, and then maybe I can have 49%.
Mr. Beach, we need to speak about things that are specific to today's agenda, not something you're offering up.
Oh,
please.
I see. Was I out of order?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Well, with no changes, a motion to approve the agenda for today.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 4, discussion of possible action for the approval of minutes for February the 4th, 2014. Are there any questions on the minutes of February the 4th? Seeing none, I'll call for the question. Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for February the 4th, 2014.
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Next up, consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Before that, Sheriff?
Probably as good a time as any to address this on the consent agenda. There is approval for first reading of the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and Hunting Lounge. I also have an email from Dean Haymore's office concerning item 15B, I believe it is, 15B, Mustang Ranch Emporium. That item has been rolled into the item that is on the consent agenda, and because of error with the way that it has been listed, the actual business name, LLC name, is Mustang Ranch Retailers, and the DBA is the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and the Hunting Lounge. But that's all one item now, encompassed under my office because of the liquor dimension. Do you have any questions about that?
Any questions?
No.
I don't have any.
Okay.
Very good. All right.
Been moved and seconded.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. All right. I'll move on to item 11. I think Denny needs to get out of here. So, Denny, do you want to come first today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Just a couple quick things to report on. First of all, what a way to start the event calendar for 2014 with the perfect weather and a perfect event in town. Honestly, I don't know how we get any more people or cars in town, but our job is to try and do better next year, so we will. But my hat's off to the town for what we did this last weekend. Great event. Going forward, we have this weekend, there's a basketball tournament. About 16 teams will be in town. The following weekend, we have, I believe it is 2 weeks after that, we have a crab feed. And also the start of our wine walk series, the first Saturday of each month, April through August, we'll do a wine series with the merchants and select stores, possibly a few museums in town. And then also just wanted to let the commissioners know that on Thursday, the Virginia City Tourism Commission met, and we went through our tentative budget, so we are approved and ready to submit our tentative budget, just for your information. With that, that's all that I have.
Great. Just a quick comment. We participated in your event up here on the mountain. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. We were sold out in our tent by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the crowds were still coming, and the people were still coming, and town was full at 9 o'clock last night, or that night, Saturday night. I'm sure everybody had their cash registers ringing. It was a terrific event. Thank you, Denny, for all your work on that.
Yeah, it's a team effort, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Commissioner. It's a, again, it's the merchants, it's the event, Liquid Blue, it's our marketing, it's the county. We're all together in this, and we all benefit when we do it right. Thank you.
Yeah. Great job, Denny. You and your team, collaboration with Liquid Blue. Yeah, this is probably the weather helps a lot, but this is probably the most well-organized and professional run event that we've had for this event. So, thank you. Sherry?
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin, Community Services Officer. Mark Twain Health Fair is scheduled for this Saturday, March 22nd, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at their community center. We're happy to have collaboration from many different partners, including Carson City Health and Human Services, Community Health Alliance, formerly known as HOC, Carson Tahoe Hospital, Community Chest, our local fire department, district attorney's office, and various other groups that will be there that day. I'm also happy to announce that we received some Commission on Cultural Affairs grant funds for the repair and perhaps replacement of the courthouse roof. We hope to have the grant award sometime in May. This particular stream of grant funding is the sale of bonds, and they've put those out for sale, and that'll close sometime in April. So hopefully by May we have our grant award. The land patent for the BLM property off of Six Mile Canyon for the Virginia City Wastewater Treatment Plant has been received, recorded. We are currently out to bid for that project, so we'll be coming back to you probably around the 15th of April with the bid information. Planning continues on the Highlands evacuation drill to be held on May 17th, 2014. We're encouraging all residents to participate from the Highlands. We will be holding a training session this Thursday, March 20th at 6 p.m. at the Highlands Fire Safe Council meeting, which is at the Fire Department. With the recent swarm and earthquakes, we've been quiet, as I reported last month. We brought in a graduate student from UNR and gave a presentation at both the elementary school here in Virginia City and one in Lockwood. I think the kids really enjoyed it and hopefully learned some information that they can take home to their parents. Free dump days will be held at the Virginia City Transfer Station on Friday, May 2nd and Saturday, May 3rd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Lockwood Landfill will also offer free dump days on April 3rd, 4th, 5th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 17th, 18th, and 19th from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And that's all I have if you have any questions for me.
Another congratulations and thank you, Sherry. What a wonderful job you're doing.
And when do we open the bids? It's going to be nice to get this roof repaired so it doesn't stop leaking.
Well, this little lady is in every single neighborhood in Surrey County on a regular, ongoing, weekly basis. She's taking up every community challenge that's been thrown at her, and she's handling it. And I just couldn't be – I'm appreciative to work with you, and I thank you so much for the effort you're putting into that.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Great. Perfect. Thank you, Sherry.
Is that made on the free dump?
Yes, yes, sir.
Pam Abercrombie, you have something to report for the library community chest today?
Pam Abercrombie, community chest. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. The library has now been open 4 days a week in Virginia City since mid-February. We're at the Virginia City location 3 to 7 on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and Friday and Saturday 10 to 2. We have the Mark Twain location open. We're kind of looking for furniture right now to fill up the room so it's a little bit more homey. So we've got that location open, and we're working on getting the space developed to be public-friendly. We're alternating days until we can get enough volunteers to have it open from 9 to 7 one day a week. Right now we have 9 to 1 and 3 to 7 alternating weeks. The group down there is awesome to work with. I love that group down there. Our patrons have increased by quite a bit. From originally it was about 2 to 4 people a week, we're up to like 14 people a week. So we're doing really well. We've already had the library up here used as a meeting space by one group. We've increased our library card holders by 8. And our book collection is up to 1,200 right now at the VC location. Coming up in April will be children's storytelling time, computer classes, and I am pushing to get our Nevada history collection. My undergrad is history, and so I love history, and so I want to make sure we get our Nevada collection available at the VC location, and then I want to tie into tourism and draw in some tourists as well. So those are our plans as of right now. Thank you very much. And also, Ramblin' Jack Elliott tickets for sale this Friday at the Piper's House on Community Chest website or at the Red Dog and then at Community Chest.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Great. Thank you for your report. Gary, did you want to come up now or did you want to wait? Okay, come on up.
Good morning, Arnold, Board of Commissioners. I will remind you, last meeting I didn't have anything to report, so I'm going to make up for it this morning. I'll try to keep it less than an hour. Just a few things that are pretty critical to our operation currently going on is the 2013 Fire District Annual Report was just published last week to the website. It was also sent to each of you and the county manager via email. If anybody was interested in that, I'd be happy to email it to them, but it is on the county or the county website under the fire district portion. I would like to touch base quickly on the BLM agreement. After looking at the website, the agreement was not placed on the website as part of that packet. If anybody would like a copy of that, please contact me. I will send you a hard copy, electronic copy, whichever you would like. I will tell you, however, that there are no significant changes. That agreement simply is due to expire June 30th. It was a 5-year agreement, and this is just renewing our 5-year agreement with no significant changes. There's a few clarification things in the agreement as far as fuel costs and that type of thing. Mileage costs have changed slightly in the last 5 years, so that's really the only change to the agreement, no significant changes. The annual operating plan is the same thing. Fuel costs, hourly rates, all those types of things have been slightly adjusted. Mileage. Other than that, there are no changes to either one of those two documents. But again, if somebody would like to see them, I'd be more than happy to provide those documents to them. And I apologize, I don't know how that wasn't part of the packet, but it was dropped somewhere in email world or electronic world somewhere. So apologize about that. We are going to be working over the next month or so with the district attorney to adjust the boundaries. With the dissolution of the 473 district, those lands need to be reincorporated in the 474 district. I know we've talked about that individually, but we are working on that. Mr. Maddox is very happy to take that challenge on, I think. I can see him smiling from here. We just finished our reserve firefighter testing. As you know, we've had some turnover in the fire district. That's our hiring pool, basically. So we've exhausted that. We went out and tested. We had 13 qualified applicants. Out of those 13, three didn't pass the written test. Two weren't able to pass the physical agility. We made job offers to five individuals, and three are being placed on a hiring list. So that's all positive things. That'll replenish that group of individuals. And as a reminder, the reserve positions help cover vacancies for annual sick days, special events, or if we have red flag days, we bring on those extra bodies to increase staffing levels. So that's all positive. This one's going to be a little bit more lengthy, and I'll try to go quickly, so if there's any questions, please just pop in. But as you know, we've received the fuels grant that was awarded last year. Since then, about 4 weeks ago, we received another grant from NDF that was a culmination of several projects, leftover funds that they give us as a sub-grant through NDF. That grant's about $115,000, and that's going to be used over several different areas within the county. The first being, we've already completed the projects on what I call the interior one-acre portions of the Highlands of specific roads, and I could go through those if you'd like, but just know that we've started that, and it's in the area of Bonanza, wrapping all the way back around to Sazerac and tying in with Cartwright. Through competitive bidding processes, that grant called for $64,000 was that portion of the grant. We've only spent $12,000. So our goal is to continue that out in rings, basically, until we exhaust that whole $64,000. So the first project, there will probably be about seven phases to that. The first phase of that project's done, and we're going out to award the second phase here as early as they might have even started today. The next area that we're going to be focusing on is Geiger Grade. If you drive that, you know that it's very thick and there's a lot of dead and dying stuff. That's going to be a significant thing. We've got a 10-person Sawyer crew starting next Monday that will be working on the south side of the highway without any flaggers where they're not required. Immediately following that, we're working with NDOT to start the north side. And that north side is going to be logistically complex in nature. We'll have flaggers. Our plan is to bring in a very large 80,000-pound chipper that's on wheels, it's not tracked, put that on the highway. We'll have a 20-person inmate crew from NDF, a 10-person Sawyer crew, our fuels crew, and NDOT equipment. So logistically, close confined quarters and a lot of people working in that area. Our plan is, and I think this is a little aggressive personally, but our plan is to have that done and knocked out in 5 days. With that many bodies, hopefully that works. I'm thinking probably more like 7 or 8 days. And I'll apologize in advance. Each one of the audience members are going to hate me because there's going to be flaggers and delays, but we've got to get that cleared out. So that project is slated to start a week from yesterday, so next Monday. And it may not be work on the ground until we get the south side done, and then we'll start the north side, which is going to be far more complex. We're also going to be doing fuel reductions along Lostown Road from the fire station all the way up to the highway. That'll involve chipping. That contractor, we're waiting for the riparian easement documents to come back signed from the state and feds. It's all mobilized. Everybody's ready to go. As soon as that's inked, we'll be on the ground working. Hopefully within the next 2 weeks, because we're running out of our window to do that. So you'll see work down there. Jumping over to Six Mile Canyon, we'll be doing fuel reduction projects from C Street, essentially, all the way down to the Story County lines. Same thing, riparian. We're waiting for all that paperwork to come through. It was all submitted at the same time, so hopefully that comes in within the next 2 weeks as well. Each one of these is a different private contractor that we've gone out to bid and awarded those contracts. So logistically for us, it's going to be it's going to be very busy trying to manage all those. Again, through competitive bids, we had, long story short, is we have a rewrite to our community wildfire preparedness plan. Through the competitive bid process, it came in $17,000 underneath the grant award. So that $17,000 we're going to reallocate to Virginia City projects along street easements. There have never been any funds through any of the fuel grant management programs put into Virginia City. Just to preface some of these comments, that was always the India Fire District doing it outside of Virginia City. So this will be the first time we're doing on-the-ground fuel work along road easements and street easements in Virginia City. We'll have a 20-person crew working roughly 20 days on that project, and Public Works Director Mike Nevin will oversee them during that project. And I think that's it for fuel projects. We just completed an S215 wildland urban interface class and an S234 ignition operations class for our seasonal reserve and new employees, as well as numerous outside agencies within the region, our cooperating friends. We'll be participating in the annual regional sand table exercises through the Sierra Front Wildfire Cooperators next month, which is based out in Douglas County off the Bison Fire. We'll be recreating that and rerunning that as an incident management team. We'll be heavily participating with that, as well as participating in the May 17th Highlands evacuation drill to a certain degree. The scenario is based on a wildland fire, although the two categories that we're really testing are evacuations and sheltering. So the scenario may be wildland, but it's not going to be all of our boots on the ground. We'll just be an incident commander, basically shoulder-to-shoulder with Sheriff Antonaro's team, identifying areas to evacuate. And I think that is the highlights. Any questions on any of that? I apologize for the length.
Well, you guys are playful.
A little bit. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chief Ames. Sheriff Antonaro?
Just a couple things real quickly. As you may or may not have heard, there was a film crew in town a week, 10 days ago, filming in the area of the Mackey Mansion. They were permitted. They made notification to my office of what they were going to be doing. However, throughout the whole process, the school failed to get notified, so when they discharged a few blanks, it caused a little bit of concern over there, brought to our attention some failures in the system. We have a meeting tomorrow with the county manager, fire department, Danny Dotson, as far as the permitting process to ensure that those types of failures don't happen again in the future. Also have a meeting coming up with the school district, I believe, on the 26th. As far as the response plan to situations at the school, because also this brought up some failures that have been identified in that plan. So we're working to correct those, and my apologies for any families that were given cause for concern, but at no point were children endangered. The other issue also stemming out of the schools, just rumors that have been going around town, is concerns of inmates working on the hill up above the school. Just for your edification and those of the audience, anytime an inmate is out working, one, they have trustee status, which means they have been deemed to be very low risk of flight or to the public, and two, they are under supervision the entire time they are out in the world. So that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Sheriff. Mr. District Attorney?
I have, for those of you who are wondering where my car is at, my old Jeep, it's parked in my driveway and I have a new 2014 Subaru, so I'm riding in style these days.
Madam Deputy District Attorney, anything to report today? Nothing there? I think goes that and all the staff except Mr. Gallagher?
Nope, how about me?
Oh, you want to go first?
Sure. Let's leave him last.
All right. We'll leave you for the best.
I want to circle back on one thing Sherry mentioned. Sherry, correct me if I have these dates wrong. I believe our commission meeting in April, that she mentioned that we would be hopefully awarding the bid on the sewer plant, it would be April 15th. I believe we opened bids on April 10th. We are going to open them down in Reno, most likely. because there's going to be a very short window period of time between the time that they're opened and our engineer, Far West Engineering, needs to go to work to make sure that all the specs and compliance issues are met on this grant. So if anybody needs information, it most likely will not be in the packet when the packets are generated for this meeting. So get in touch with Sherry at 847-0986, and she'll endeavor to get you synopsis and make documents available to you. Denny mentioned this weekend, and this weekend was phenomenal, to see various parts of our community come together. One of them I was real proud of is the county works with three different labor unions, contractual unions, and based on circumstances, based on events, sometimes those relationships can be tenuous, but it's great when you have some also that foster mutual respect and appreciation. This, our general government employees under the AFSCME banner, AFSCME, Comstock chapter, had a booth selling Rocky Mountain oysters this weekend, and there was a line constantly there. There were six or seven great employees throughout the county that got into that booth and into that process, and their spouses or partners. And I asked their president to please give me just a brief synopsis of what they do. So this is provided by the union. On March 15th, members of the AFSCME Comstock chapter, General Employees Union, rolled up their sleeves and participated for the fourth year in a row in the Virginia City Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. With the generous sponsorship of local businesses and the help of friends and families, over $300 was raised. This is one of a handful of fundraisers the chapter participates in throughout the year. In 2013, the Comstock chapter was able to sponsor a fifth grade student from Hugh Gallagher Elementary School to attend the Great Basin Outdoor School. They also awarded their first annual scholarship to a graduating Virginia City High School student. It's a great opportunity for the chapter to encourage the future leaders of our community. So kind of lets you know what sometimes goes on behind the scenes. Don't shoot the messenger on this one, and I want to be abundantly clear, especially with as many good folks from the Highlands here. I was told this morning that I believe Sunny Hills is going to have another meeting on March 25th. That should time in with your 10-acre association meeting, I believe. This is not county sanctioned. We don't have any official notice. It was just a random comment that was made. So you might check with your 10-acre association. If you're not finding anything, please get back to me, and we'll endeavor to dig. We're keeping great distance from the Sunny Hills people for good reason. Our board has authorized staff and our district attorney to work on the tri-piece for the Washoe County boundary line adjustment. We do not have any authorization on the Sunny Hills piece, and we're not really entertaining ongoing dialogues with them. And for the record, no matter what you hear uttered in public meetings, statements that the tri-piece is intricately linked with the Sunny Hills piece is false. We worked throughout the legislative session to disconnect those two. They were embedded in the same assembly bill. I believe it was assembly, but they are totally independent of each other. One can happen without the other. None can happen. I guess in a blue moon, maybe both could happen, but I just don't see that happening. So, again, if you have any questions and you want to sit and talk with me, I'd be happy to talk. I think our commissioners are briefed and current on it as well. A little bit of show and tell. I'll do the light lifting first. Maybe the next time you come to a meeting, there might not be as bright a glare. Our district court judge has asked our court clerk and myself to look at window tinting features, mostly from a security standpoint, but also, this room is used at night, but it's largely used during the daytime. So we're trying to work with that, see what we can do. So we're gonna come up with some coding. They did it down at the Carson City Courthouse, and Judge Russell specifically loved it. So you might see a little different look in here once we work through Gerpado and the historic district. The second one, you'll have to excuse me. I'm old. I have arthritis. But if you have time after the break, come up and take a look at this. This is a paper. It means heavy, but it is. hopefully, going to be a substitute material for our board books. The first place you should see either that or some suitable lighter color, if we can get it a little more wood-looking, will be in front of the Fire Museum and the Gunfighters area and the train car clear down to our steps. So we're trying to find more durable, through Mike Nevin, Commissioner McBride, we're trying to find more durable solution for the long term. And that's it, other than to tell you that our commission clerk is so dedicated that she cut short her vacation and came back to work on her birthday to take minutes today. So happy birthday. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Witten. Mr. Gallagher? I hope you've reset your St. Patrick's Day clock, because there's only 364 days until St. Patrick's Day.
Well, and I can't wait till he gets here again. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, I've seen a lot of people this weekend that had a lot of green on and saw a lot of people this morning with green under their gills. It must have been a celebration. And with that, as part of a little history lesson, I want to probably share with you the myths of St. Patrick's Day. First of all, St. Patrick wasn't from Ireland. He was from England. But he was captured by Irish pilots at the age of 16. This is around 400 A.D. He escaped 17 years later, only to return as a missionary, and died somewhere around 461 A.D. So at somewhere between then and now, he was declared the patron saint of Ireland. The second myth that comes about is has to do with the symbolic symbol of the shamrock. The shamrock was to have been a good luck piece. It's grown all over Europe, not in Ireland. And for the most part, it was there to explain the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, for that little part of the myth. And then there was a myth about St. Patrick and driving the snakes out of Ireland. There were never any snakes in Ireland. There never was any snakes in Ireland. However, he did drive the attorneys out of Ireland. Unfortunately, they got on a boat and came to America, where they're now flourishing.
So there were snakes.
Now we know the origin.
Now we know it. There's the thing that's probably been at in the paper and certainly in people's comments, and it's the heart of a huge question, and I really appreciate everybody's passion in this, is the park text. I want to thank Commissioner Chauvagan for putting this completely on the front burner, because I had nowhere to go. I had items of that Dave Thomas had sent us in 2009. I could not reflect any of that to any of the current records that I had. There were records that were out there that were either inconsistent, they were not all there. And thank God for Dean Hamer. And it was a conversation I had with him about a month ago, trying to say, you know, is there any records that you have here that can tell us exactly what went on with the park tax fee that was charged to the, not only to the people in the Highlands, but also Mark Twain, Lockwood, and Virginia City. And he says, well, I have the original permit. And I went, well, thank God for violating the record retention policy that we have, because they would have been gone for, you know, 7 years after. And with the help of Stacy Buccaneri, who in his office, we went back probably to 1980. And just to make sure that nothing happened. And we finally found out in 1992 that on the permit itself, it would say that there was a $250 fee for park tax. Stacy then took that to where the location was, did a very extensive audit of that, And we probably now have a correct, I'm hoping a correct, I saw Dave Thomas here, and I'll let him come up and, we've invited him to take a review of this because I want his input in this. But I think we've got the revenue part of it solved, barring any other things that we can think of. And we roughly missed about $32,000 of park tax fees, not only to the Highlands, but also to Mark Twain Estates, Virginia City, and Rainbow Bend. So the records that I assumed were correct in 2008 when I got here were actually not correct. I don't think they ever were correct. So consequently, we're going to make them correct now. I'm going to book this, and I'd like Dave to come up. Dave, have you seen that?
Yes. First, I want to thank Ms. Bucaneri for what had to be a fairly tedious job. And I was forwarded her summary as well as annual PDF files that go from, I believe, 1992 through 2001, that are PDF files of the individual building permits. Once you look at the permit, it's pretty easy to do. In great big letters on the permit in the upper right, it says Highland Ranches, VC Highlands, or what part of the Highlands, Mark Twain, whatever, the location. And as you said, the park fees are clearly on there. Compared with the numbers that I came up with, Hugh came up with a slightly lower number. I had said in my communications with the county several years ago that I believe there were 346 houses built in the Highlands during this period. Hugh came up with 326 houses. The one thing we do know is how many houses are in the Highlands because we're collecting property taxes on them. That's irrefutable, the information in the assessor's office. So there is a 20-house difference, which, as it turns out, is about slightly less than 6% difference between the two numbers. There are a couple issues that something that I brought up with Pat Whitten and Hugh Gallagher a number of years ago. I discussed it with District Attorney Maddox. He is probably the best authority in the world on this because, as it turns out, he was a district court judge when in Incline Village, you recall, the property tax issue came up. The plaintiffs in that case requested legal interest be paid on the taxes, the funds that had not been, that had been mishandled one way or another. Then Judge Maddox ruled for the plaintiffs. Washoe County appealed to the Supreme Court, and our district attorney has the distinction of having his decisions upheld now by both the state and the United States Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court was a different case, I believe, a few years earlier. But Bill can advise the county on whether legal interest should be put into this park fund. And it is one sentence in Nevada statutes. It's about 10 words long that says a situation where legal interest should be paid upon money received to the use and benefit of another and detained without his or her consent. And what has happened with these park funds essentially is they were directly deposited into the general fund, which they weren't supposed to be. So that's an issue which the county is going to have to address. And it is, in the Highlands, it's a fairly material issue because you're talking a 20-year period. And although the interest is simple interest, it doesn't compound, 20 years' worth of interest at prime plus two, simple interest, adds up to be a big number. So, but I just, you know, yes, I want to thank you for forwarding me the information. And as I said, Ms. Bucanaria did a good job on the summary.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a statement for the record, and again, we are checking with Bill as legal counsel and Hugh and I as staff, but so that the commission knows our intent is once we get direction from Bill on interest, there is no concern, there is no ability, there's no interest in fighting the payment of interest, because what this was all along, apparently, is, as Dave mentioned very accurately, this is money that went into the general as a line item, and potentially over the years maybe as four line items. They did not go in their own separate fund. So while the individual communities, the four individual communities that Hugh outlined, have potentially lost interest earnings on those amounts, the county general fund gained. So the interest is there, the money's there. It's just determining what the amount is and what legal advice is to go ahead and close this out. And then we also have to revalidate the expenses over the years that did go into
right.
all four different
right.
parts.
I wanted to get the income then first, and then we'll go back through and revalidate what the expenses are. We'll do all of that, and then what we'll do is we'll agendize that, but I want to run that by through Dave too, because he's been at the forefront of this for an awful long time. And I want to make sure that we're correct this time before we go forward, and then we'll agendize it, book it, and then we'll continue down that road.
Great. Well, and now we want to go ahead. We're going to make an exception to our normal rules of not taking any public comment on staff reports, but
make a comment too.
Sure.
I want to thank you, and especially Stacy Bucanaria, who's not here, for working with me on this and getting this thing done. And I know you and Stacy both put in a lot of work, and thank you, Dean, for breaking the law on records retention. That was great. So.
Okay. And since I see we have a contingent from the Highlands, we'll take public comment on this item, which is, we're bending the rules a little bit, but anyone who would like to come up and talk about it, I'd like to take comments from the Highlands residents first, if those. Come on up. When you come to the podium, if you'll identify yourself for the record so that the clerk will have it on.
My name is Carla McPartland. I'm a Highlands resident. I started this process 9 years ago. In fact, we're coming up on 10. How long have you been here? 10?
No.
How long?
Six.
6 years. Before him. And it's been a very long process. I appreciate that finally someone's taken it seriously for us. We don't want one penny more than what we deserve to have. Not one penny. That we just want it to get it solved and have it solved correctly. I'm going to be setting up a meeting. I go to the TENS meeting next week, I think it is, and the ones the following. We're going to have a Highlands meeting, everybody. And we're going to sit and brainstorm, and at that point, we will create a list and give you a list. Bill keeps yelling for a list, so we're going to give you a list and tell you what, as a group, we would like to do with that money. We've already got our fencing and all. There's a couple more things in the park, but basically, we want to do some other larger items if possible. So thank all of you for helping us out with this, and I can't wait for it to be over. I'm tired of it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And if I may, while Carlin returns to her seat, I want to recognize her and thank her, because as she mentioned, for going on 10 years, I would probably tell you, and I might be shorting someone else out there, that virtually every one of the newer improvements that have been made, from the retaining walls to the fencing to everything, Carlin was your voice and your champion and really made it happen. So I'm glad you're still involved. I'm glad you hung in there with us.
All right. Any other residents from the Highlands? Anyone else? Okay. Janet?
Hi.
Thank you, Janet House. I'd like to have that report too, to see what is going on with my Mark Twain areas. And as I was talking to Mike Nevin yesterday about my park on the faucets, so I have discussed about it, but I will talk right to you later on the park. I still did not forget what I promised to you on the letter, but I'm waiting, Mr. Chairman, I'm waiting for Attorney General, Nevada Attorney General, to respond to me some things. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Beach, come on up. We're on park funds now, Mr. Beach.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do fail sometimes, and I try to learn as I go, but when you get old, it's hard. Let's talk about park funds. I haven't felt for a long time that Public Works has any interest in our park, and I don't see the committee that Lance has appointed down there interested in that park. And I would like to develop some group that is interested in our park. We've got an issue down there. There's no water. We have people coming in there with those biscuits and putting in there and squirting the juice on them and lighting them in fire. We've got a fire problem, probably, with no water. And they could put water in there and put not drinkable to have water in that park. But they just don't seem to be interested in Mark Twain. And that committee is saying they're only interested in that building. Well, there's a whole lot more in Mark Twain than that building across the street from me. And I would like to be part of anything they do down there, not because I know everything, but I've been there a while. And so that's something for you guys to think about. But Mike Nevin, since he come online, has showed me no interest in Mark Twain at all. And I like to think I get just as much effort and pay just as much tax as anybody else in the county. And if Lance gets treated good down in his county, I should get treated good down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beach. Gunther, come on up.
Hi, my name's Gunther Prosser. I'm from the River District, specifically Lockwood. And as you all know, I started on the Louise Perry Park project about 4 years ago. And I am very thrilled that we are finally have some numbers and looking forward to getting the printout on how many buildings we have, how much money was allocated. And now that we do have the numbers, I'm looking forward to spending that money because the parents in that area are doing tremendous things. And Mike Nevin also did tremendous things with just a few little things that we fixed up. We have parents wanting to put together soccer teams. We had an organization get gold, buy soccer goals and things. And I really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing what the numbers are and seeing how we can put that money to good use. The issue there is we have the original park, and of course, you know, we have the park expansion. And it's something I'd like the commissioners to look at, whether this money can only be spent for the original park or whether it can also be utilized for the park expansion. So I went to the school district meeting yesterday, asked them to support moving that exercise equipment from what I call the hole. I think you all know what I'm talking about. Up into the park so that the seniors and the kids can start utilizing it. And with this money, it'd be something that we could use to dig those up, get them up where people can utilize them. And again, looking forward to the report, and thank you very much, commissioners.
Great.
It's been a long haul.
Thanks for your participation, Gunther.
Yeah. And something that Gunther brought up that I do want to remind everybody is once the net number is figured out, and proportionally distributed, there are some very strong statutory guidelines for what these can be used for. For instance, you were mentioning soccer programs, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, but the goalposts should certainly qualify. So these are typically hard material improvements that you have to make, and I want everybody aware of that. We'll get the number determined and go to work. And again, in your communities, even in Mr. Beach, you know, I I'd say give us a list. Do exactly what Carlin's doing. Meet with people, determine what you want to do in your individual areas, and get those lists. I would suggest get those lists to Sherry Nevin as our community services officer. You know, again, it's a collaborative team effort with Mike and everybody, and sometimes we stumble along the way. But Gunther, I took note of your question on can they be used at the expansion. We'll find out. Another question we'll have to find out, too, through Sherry now, is what are the covenants on the original grant that allowed us to put that equipment in there, and what are we doing to our compliance with that grant? But we'll figure it out.
There's also a time frame, too, on expenditure of these funds.
Yes, we'll work on that.
Okay.
Can I expand with that?
I guess follow up.
You have a follow-up?
Yes. I just want to do a follow-up.
Come on up.
Yeah, just a quick note. I do realize that the building permit money is only for material things like the scoreboards and basketball hoops and maybe skate parks and things like that. So I do realize that. And once that is put in, and then, of course, I realize that the county is subject or working with the communities to try to maintain what was installed so it doesn't get beat up and stuff. So thank you for your follow-up there, and appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you. You have a follow-up, Mr. Beach? Okay, come on up.
You spoke about us getting a list together. But you're going to go on the ballot this fall with a question regarding something. Why can't these issues? I can go generate a list with one of my little committees, but it's just a small little group of people. And then that doesn't speak for everybody in Mark Twain. And if you put this stuff on the ballot, take my questions, other people's, and put on their advisory questions, bing, 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 10 of them, don't matter. Then you've got the people speaking. You don't just have... That's putting the effort out to be up here, because other people have to work and they have to do a lot of things. But that ballot box would really help. Then there's no question. If Bill Beach swinging things his way because he likes the 517 committee better than he does the other committees up in the country, Mark Twain, all in Mark Twain. And then you've got the people speaking. You don't just have me up here speaking. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and I'd take exception to that. I think the efforts that Ms. McPartlin does to go to the various homeowners groups, gets out there during the annual meetings, canvasses the neighborhood, is far from one voice speaking. It is a very concerted, dedicated effort that she does. So.
Any other questions, public comment, before Mr. Gallagher concludes? Okay, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. All right. Next on the agenda, we have item 12, board comment. Mr. Shevagin?
Yeah. Well, I have a few things. Let's see. I believe it's next week. Austin and I are going to go to a statewide forum on medical marijuana and being held in Elko, Winnemucca, Carson City, Las Vegas, big thing that we hope we get some firm answers on how to administer medical marijuana should we choose to go and move in that direction, and get some guidance from the Attorney General on, you know, some of the specifics. And also the law enforcement aspects of it, things like that. So that should be kind of interesting. Also, I have a meeting on land use coming up here. I can't remember the date, in the next couple of weeks. So over in Winnemucca, we'll be discussing land withdrawals statewide, and of course also sit on the Land Task Force Committee for the state, so I'm hoping these are going to be working hand in hand together. And Sagehens, as I predicted, has turned into quite a quagmire, because as I anticipated, and we've got now wild horses and sage hens and water rights and land rights and grazing rights and a whole bunch of other things are all mixed up in one big bag. I don't know how that's going to shake out. It's just, it's really a mess. I've been talking to Heller's office off and on for the last several months on it. And they agree that they said, yep, we're going to see all of these things come together. And so I don't know where that's going to wind up, but and of course we have the big lawsuit, statewide lawsuit against Bureau of Land Management on trying to get a writ of mandamus out of the federal court to make them stick to their own regulations. And so I think this should get it's going to get pretty interesting down the road. How this all comes out. And of course, our land issues here will get involved in it too, I'm sure, at some point. Anyway, that's all I had.
Thank you. Vice Chairman?
I'd like to thank everybody for what took place here on the park funds. Last meeting that I attended, I was so disappointed in the rhetoric and the accusations and what appeared to be a real lack of commitment to work together. It was challenging. It's historic. There's a lot of historical data that had to be resurrected. There had to be a lot of number crunching that went on. Dave Thomas did some, and I understand was excellent. Stacey Buccaneri. They're just, everybody in the county turned to solve a problem that had a lot of unknowns attached to it. And I am so pleased that everyone came together and the politeness of today and the commitment to work together as a community, as a government, with maybe the understanding that it was a challenging problem. But as you heard our county manager say, the money's here, the interest is here. It's not a matter of push and pull or tug. It's a matter of just working together. And I would suggest to everyone that that's how every challenge should be met. Not with accusations, not with aggressive name-calling. This commission, this group of leadership here in the county, I can tell you factually, is focused on the very best things we can do for our county in all of our neighborhoods and on all of our issues. And it was heartening to me to hear how it finally ended up and how it came together today. It was professional. It was with kindness to one another, and it looks to me like we're going to get a satisfactory resolution. Hugh, thank you for all of the challenge you've undertaken there. I really appreciate you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. 2 weeks ago, County Manager Witten and myself went to Washington, D.C. for the annual legislative NACO conference, which is the National Association of Counties. This is the second year I participated there. It's a great group. We met with the Nevada delegates, and it's a forum of continuing education where you're able to attend classes and lectures on whether it be finance or ethics or flood control or anything that every local government deals with. We were able to meet with Harry Reid on one given day and gave him a booklet on all of the needs, wants, and concerns of the Nevada counties who participate, one of those being the lands bill, not Story County in particular, but the big one, and he wasn't interested in looking at that at all. It was okay because we got to go back a day later with another organization, which is called Shared Federal Framework. And we were invited late to the table on this. And it's an organization of Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, Carson City, Douglas County, Airport Authority, the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, the University of Nevada, and the Desert Research Institute. So they, too, have an organization. They put together what their wants, needs, and concerns are for northwestern Nevada, which were part of that. So we were able to meet a whole different group of peoples. Some were crossing over from NACO with us, but we were able to meet, I think, no less than 8 congressmen while we were there, hosted by former Southern Nevada Congressman John Porter, who's just a wonderful gentleman who broke the ice for us in a lot of areas. We had, you know, secretaries of transportation that came in and talked to us, and staffers from all of these congressmen that would come in and out of our forum all day long listening to people give their presentation. And I was able to do Story Counties. And our major concerns right now are to get this USA Parkway completed from Interstate 80 to Highway to US 50 for transportation and for our products that are going to be coming into the industrial park, but also a shorter distance for our commuters, for the workers that are going to work in industrial park from that part of Lyon County. So we got to talk about that. We got to talk about Nevada land, the Story County, Restore Story County lands bill that's in there too, which, it looks very positive that the BLM is going to, the Congress is going to order the BLM to turn these lands, these properties back over to Story County. So, what was the third item on that, Mr. Wynn?
The third was a request for consideration to continue funding grant programs that are critical to us, community development, block grant funding, Water Resource Development Act, WERDA funding, you know, those types of programs. So it was a, you know, please keep this going. Obviously, it's a Republican and a Democratic dodgeball sometimes, I think, but there seems to be understanding that those funding programs are vital to all of us.
And these are the funds that we continually use in the county that are available through grant. I mean, we're getting the wastewater treatment plant through a WERDA program as well. And they have fire department programs, police department programs, things of that, where they end up giving funding in a block grant form. So it's very educational. It's well worth spending your taxpayer dollars to send us back there. Mm-hmm. And we don't goof off. We really do. We work for you while we're there. We got one day of sightseeing in, and which was great because Congressman Porter was able to give us a Capitol tour, and we got to see it all. And we got to go through all the underground tunnels to get from one part of the building to the other. It was just a fabulous experience. And anyone who's never been to Washington, D.C. in this room needs to go. The historical significance is just beyond your imagination. So.
Yeah, and don't forget to tell them how Commissioner Chauvin conveniently whittled his way out by coming down with a bad case of shingles.
Yeah.
Pretty smart, that guy.
Yeah, well, we truly missed you there. We really did. So, I don't think. What's that?
About a quick break.
Sure. How about if we take about a 10-minute recess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea, Mr. All right.